All right. Hey, Fritz Berger and bloodandfaith.com. It's the end of November. It's the 1st of December. And I need to go over an article I wrote. It's a short article. And the title of the article is Christian or Judeo-Christian Choose Wisely. And it's another provocative or controversial article because I take issue with the church's worship of the Antichrist. And what do I mean by the Antichrist? I don't mean a handsome devil in a nice suit with a couple little horns popping out. I'm talking about the biblical definition of the Antichrist. And the biblical definition of the Antichrist is he who denies the Father and the Son. It's also he who denies that the Messiah, the Anointed One, has already come in the flesh. So for people out there, movements out there, religions out there, nations out there who are still waiting for the Messiah to come in the flesh, and they deny that the Messiah has already come in the flesh, that fits the description of the Antichrist. And for the people out there that say that they deny the Father and Son, if they deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and they deny that Jesus is one with the Father, that fits the definition of the Antichrist. And if you want to know who those people are biblically, read the Bible. If you want to know who hated Jesus Christ, read the Bible. If you want to know who murdered Jesus Christ, read the Bible. If you want to know who conspired to murder Jesus Christ, read the Bible. If you want to know who the enemies of Jesus Christ are, read the Bible. If you want to know who is Antichrist, read the Bible. With whom did Jesus Christ have aught? With whom was there enmity between Jesus Christ and who was the other group of people that had enmity with him? And where does this enmity come from? The enmity comes from Genesis 3:15. At the fall, when there was a fall, the Almighty said, I will put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. I will put enmity there. God's going to put enmity there. The Almighty God says, I will put enmity there. And so when Jesus Christ shows up and when John the Baptist shows up, there was instant and immediate enmity. Enmity is a hatred even unto death. The enmity was deep. It was abiding. And it could not be satisfied without the death of one or the other. Well, we had the initial death, and then we will have the other death. The initial death was when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, but he rose from the dead. And the second death will be when the Antichrist and the beast and Satan are all thrown into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. So the enmity is not something that the church can get around. And I think the church has tried really hard to get around this enmity. The church has tried to be friends with the world. They've tried to make peace with the Antichrist, partly out of fear, partly out of doubt, partly out of unbelief, partly out of cowardice. It's not hard. It's not easy fighting the devil. It's not easy fighting the devil and his children. And one of the worst things that you can do when you're fighting the devil is point out that the fact that the devil has children and that there is such a thing as a brood of vipers and the offspring of the serpent. With that in mind, I wanted to bring up historically what other Christians have thought about the people that call themselves Jews, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, according to Jesus Christ, Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. And here's one, a guy named John Chrysostom. And here's what he said: have you had enough of the fight against the Jews? The man who does not have enough of loving Christ will never have enough of fighting against those who hate Christ. I don't know how to be clearer than that. I think he summarized it very well. The man who does not have enough of loving Christ will never have enough of fighting against those who hate Christ. Now, maybe a lot of Christians don't have, they've got plenty of love in Christ. They're like, you know what, I'm full up with loving Christ. I got no more to love Christ with. And so they have no more willingness to fight against those who hate Christ. That's what John's saying. Chrysostom. Can't pronounce his name very well. I probably ought to look it up. And I have this as an article on bloodandfaith.com, and I thought it would be worth my while to turn this into a video. Here's what I have to say. False Jews know what the Holy Scriptures teach. They know what it teaches. What do you mean by false Jews? I'm quoting Jesus Christ. Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9. These scriptures are not any more obscure than John 3:16. That Jesus Christ himself says them personally, it says them twice, establishes this fact. And then you couple that with what 1 John says and what 2 John says about the Antichrist. And that barely touches the tip of the iceberg. False Jews know what the Holy Scripture teaches. They agree with me. These false Jews, these Talmud teachers, agree with me, Fritz Berggren, that the Bible is hostile to Judaism, that the Talmud and all who follow that satanic system. Holy Scriptures are hostile to Judaism. It's hostile to the Talmud, and it's hostile to those who follow the satanic system. Those people have worked hard and very successfully to get to the church to deny the words of Jesus Christ. In their own words, and this is from the Jerusalem Post, here's what they say, quote, the Jewish community should work with our Christian brothers to ensure that any anti-Semitic verses in one of the most widely read Bibles on earth, they mean the Christian Bible by that, as opposed to the Quran or something else, be formally repudiated and be reinterpreted clearly, securely, and anew. And I'll give the link at the bottom of the video for where that article appears. The Jewish community should work to ensure that any anti-Semitic verses in the Bible be formally repudiated and be reinterpreted. All right, what is the meaning of this? This is the way of the Talmud. This is what they did to the Torah. This is what the Talmud people did to the Torah. The Torah are the books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They took the books of Moses and the prophets, and they said, yeah, we got what they say, but they really mean something different. That becomes the Talmud. The Talmud is the oral tradition, and they brag about it. They brag about it. They say, you know what, we're very proud of having an oral tradition that is very flexible and reinterprets what the written scriptures said. And they are doing everything they can to get the Christian church to do the same thing. So they reinterpret the Holy Scriptures to mean something it does not mean at all, to deny the words of Jesus Christ, to deny the Holy Scriptures. This is the way of the Talmud. This is the teaching of the Pharisees. This is the doctrine of the Pharisees. Jesus Christ warned about this. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples said, what are you talking about? We got bread. And then later on, they realized, okay, it's the doctrines of them. It's their teachings and their hypocrisy. Claim to uphold the law, but they don't. They overrule it. That's hypocrisy. Oh, yeah, we'll get the law, but we're going to overrule it with our traditions. If you want a perfect scriptural example of that, Matthew chapter 15 is it. Matthew chapter 15 is it. And the teachers of the Talmud, the teachers of the traditions of men, they go up to Jesus Christ and say, hey, Jesus, how come your disciples don't follow the precepts and the traditions of the elders? Seems innocent enough if you don't have a context for this. Jesus Christ comes right back to him. He says, why is it that you overrule the law of God with your man-made traditions? And he hones in on the fifth commandment, honoring one's ancestors, honoring one's father and mother. He says, you overrule the law of God and what the law of God says for your man-made traditions. And this is what the Church of Jesus Christ has done with the encouragement of the teachers of the Talmud, which is the encouragement of those who currently call themselves Jews. And these people who call themselves Jews, but are not, but are liars, but are of the synagogue of Satan, according to Jesus Christ, have gotten the evangelical church to believe that somehow an antichrist group of people, they've done an inversion. How can you be the chosen people of God if you reject the Messiah of God? It's not possible. How can you be the chosen people of God if you reject Jesus Christ? It's not possible. I'll go on in the article. Quote, this is what I wrote. The church grovels obsequiously before those who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Again, I'm quoting Revelation 3:9. And are of the synagogue of Satan, while remaining silent and ashamed of what Jesus Christ said. Church is ashamed of what Jesus Christ said. Church is silent on what Jesus Christ said. When's the last time you had a pastor preach about John, or Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9, John 8:44, Matthew 12:34, Matthew 23:15, Matthew 23:33, tied them all together, threw in talk about the harlot from Ezekiel 16, the harlot from Jeremiah 2 and Jeremiah 3, the harlot from the book of Revelation, Revelation 17 and 18. A Christian man will shout from the rooftops that which the Antichrist hates. 1 Thessalonians 2:14 and 15. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out, and displease God and oppose all mankind. When's the last time you heard a preacher preach that from the pulpit? Oh, well, that doesn't really apply today. Situations were different back then. You've gone the way of the Talmud. You've gone the way of the Talmud teachers. You've filled yourself up with the doctrine of the Pharisees. Is this word eternal or not? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or do you simply, if you can pass this out, and say, well, that only applied for back then. That was, it was historically determined. You're doing exactly what those who call themselves Jews want you to do. Let me reread what they said. The Jewish community should work with our Christian brothers to ensure that any anti-Semitic verses, they would consider this an anti-Semitic verse, in the Bible, be formally repudiated and reinterpreted. Okay? They're going the way of the Talmud people. You're imbibing in the doctrine of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees. This is exactly what you're doing when you say that, saying this doesn't mean anything anymore, that I'm misinterpreting. No, I'm not. Look, just quote this. Put this on your tagline, on your emails. Here's another one. Revelation 2:9. I know your tribulation and poverty, but you're rich, and the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. I was reading something this morning. Here's some other preacher out there interpreting it away. Oh, this only applied to back then. You don't want to know what the slander is? Slander is this. You're racist, you're sexist, you're anti-Semitic, you're a Nazi. That's slander. That's called slander. And the church somehow has bent the knee to these rules made by the synagogue of Satan, denying what Jesus Christ said in order to please those of the synagogue of Satan. And look, it's a big synagogue. There's a lot of people in the synagogue. And the church, the evangelical church, and pastors are rushing headlong into the synagogue when they deny the words of Jesus Christ in order to please the Antichrist. I don't know how else to say it. The Antichrist is he who denies the Father and the Son. Who does that? Go read the 21st chapter of the book of Mark and figure out who, or book of Matthew, and figure out who denies the Son. When the caretakers of the vineyard murder the Son, they murder the Son. And Jesus Christ makes it clear. And the Pharisees knew exactly who Jesus Christ was talking about. He's talking about them. Who are the Pharisees today? People that advance the traditions of men, people that deny that the Messiah has already come in the flesh, that deny the Father and Son, that set up their man-made traditions over the Word of God. Right here, Jerusalem Post. It's worth repeating. The Jewish community should work with our Christian brothers. If you're Christian, you're not their brother. To ensure that any anti-Semitic verses in the Bible be formally repudiated. Okay, there's your traditions of man. overriding the will of the ruler of God, which is exactly what the Talmud teachers did and the Talmud people do. They did it 2,000 years ago. Why do you think it's changed today? Do you think the word of God doesn't apply today? I think it does. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Twice the son of hell as yourselves. Who are these proselytes? Who's converted to Judaism? Who's converted to Talmudism? It's those people. They say, oh, these people, you know, they're descendants of Judah and Israel. Not according to their own writers, they're not. Not according to their own writers, they're not. They're converts. They're by and large converts. They're not anymore the descendants of Judah, a son of Jacob, than you and I are. They converted. Their ancestors converted to the synagogue of Satan. When you make a single proselyte, you make him twice the much of the sons of hell as yourselves. Well, wait a minute. Was he talking to descendants of Judah right there and Jacob right there? Could be. He still called them the sons of hell. So I don't care whether they're converts or not converts. Doesn't matter. When you Talmud people convert people, whether you're a direct from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob or not, you make them twice the sons of hell that you already are, even if you are the offspring of Jacob and Judah. That's what he says right here to the Talmud teachers. All right, Matthew chapter 23. Thus you are witnesses against yourselves, that you are the sons of those who murder the prophets. Okay, and those who murder the prophets, obviously they were in the house of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were part of those tribes. And he tells these people, you prove that you're sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? This is what Jesus Christ said. So whether they're converts or not, they're a brood of vipers. Who's the brood of vipers? Genesis 3:15. I'm going to put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. Jesus Christ said, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Oh, that's an anti-Semitic verse, the Talmud teachers would say. Matthew 12:34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak evil? How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He calls them a brood of vipers. Again, Genesis 3:15. The seed of the serpent versus the seed of the woman. There's a deep-seated enmity there. 1 John, here's the Antichrist. First of all, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? If there's people out there that deny that Jesus is the Christ, starting off, they're a liar. They're liars. So if there's a religion or a nation or a group that self-identifies and said, we're so-and-so, if they claim to be Jews but are not but are liars, they're twice the liars. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. That's 1 John 2:22. Is that another anti-Semitic verse according to the people that call themselves Jews but are not, but lie and are of the synagogue of Satan? Remember, Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come, bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. Now, that's right out of Isaiah. I think it was Isaiah chapter 60. I'd have to go back and look that up. But Jesus Christ is quoting the prophets there. And it doesn't matter because they're all out of his spirit. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Matthew 12:34, you brood of vipers, The brood of vipers. Well, who were the brood of vipers? It's the offspring of, it's the seed of the serpent. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and Son. All right, 2 John. 2 John, there's one chapter in John, so verses 7 through 11. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Emphasis is on the Christ. Christ is the Messiah. Christ is the Redeemer. Christ is the Anointed One. Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. These are deceivers. Such a one is the deceiver. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves so you don't lose what you have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. If you don't abide in the teaching of Christ, you don't have God. If you deny the Father and Son, you don't have God. If you deny that Messiah has come in the flesh, you don't have God. You're Antichrist. You're Antichrist. And the Christians going, some of these Judeo-Christians go, well, I can't be anti-Semitic. Why not? Why not? You can't quote what Jesus Christ said? Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, does not bring this teaching, I'm speaking to all the pastors out there that are trying to have unity in these interfaith coalitions between the Muslims and the Talmud people. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't receive him into your house or give him any greeting. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked deeds. Right? To the extent that the evangelical church goes out there and grovels before those who have rejected Jesus Christ, they're under this curse. Do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. That's a curse on you. You take part in their wicked works. Now, did Jesus Christ predict that this would happen? Yes, he did. That's why he tells the disciples, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. He knew this was going to happen. Second of all, he knew this was going to be happening because he inspired John to say, if anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this teaching, don't receive him in your household or give him a greeting. Forever greets him, partakes in his wicked deeds. Why would he say that unless he knew that that was what's going to happen? He knew this was going to happen. So he warned the church, don't do this. He knew what was going to happen. He warns the church, don't do this. Here's a third time he warns them. Revelation 18, verse 4. I heard another voice saying, come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. Revelation 18, 4. He knew this was going to happen. He knew the church was going to go whole hog into Talmudism, putting the traditions of men over the words of Jesus Christ. What words of Jesus Christ? The words of Jesus Christ I'm speaking right now. He knew the church was going to do this. And the people that call themselves Jews have been extremely influential in getting the church to turn away from what the Word of God says and to overlay it with oral tradition, which is what the Talmud started out as, to deny the words of Jesus Christ. And he warns them, come out of their midst. Who's her? It's the harlot. It's the great harlot. Who's the harlot? Go do a word study on harlot. Go read Jeremiah 2 and 3, Jeremiah 16. Revelation 17, 18, 19. It's the Talmud people. And not just that Talmud, but all the people that have these traditions of men that lie, deny that Jesus Christ is the Lord, deny that he is the Messiah, deny that he's literally the Son of God, and that he's one with the Father. The poison runs deep. It runs worldwide. It runs globally. And it may be this group, it may be that group. Certainly you see it run rampant into the Christian church. This says nothing of atheists and the Quran people who also deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and who deny that the Messiah has already come in the flesh. The poison runs deep. Now, here's an example of a Christian man who said to forbid. He said anti-Semitic things, according to those who call themselves Jews and are not, but lie. He was a very anti-Semitic person, according to the people that call themselves Jews. I want you to tell me if you know this guy. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised of heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Again, he's quoting Jesus Christ. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Or they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, with whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Acts 7, 51-53. He's quoting Jesus Christ. And he's saying these things to the Talmud people. And the Talmud people murdered him. And you Christians, you're too good of a Christian. You're a better Christian than Stephen was. You're a better Christian than Jesus Christ was. You're a better Christian than Paul was. Because you're sensitive to the Antichrist. And you grovel before the Antichrist. And you call yourselves good Christians. This is what Jesus Christ warned about. And he's warned about now. He said, come out of the midst of her. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. It's their doctrines and their hypocrisies. They say they follow the scriptures, but they deny the scriptures. Don't partner with those who reject the Messiah of God, Jesus Christ. Sorry. You're not doing them any favors. You're emboldening them in their lies. Oh, we should just love them. The love of God leads us to repentance. Is that what Stephen did? Is that what Jesus Christ did? Is that what John did? Is that what Paul did when he wrote these things in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 15? Is that what John did when he writes in 1 John or 2 John? Is that what John does? Is that what Jesus Christ does when he says you are of your father the devil in John 8:44? Is he loving him into the kingdom of God? Why do Christians think they're better Christians than Jesus Christ and Peter and Paul and John? Be clear to yourself which side you're on. There's no third path. Jesus Christ did not come to bring peace, but a sword. The Holy Scriptures are eternal. They do not bend and sway for a people who reject them. Not a real Christian. Fritz Berger, BloodandFaith.com.